The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Nicole Arbeck now joining us from The Athletic, among those reporting this yesterday. Tony Petitti joining us. He had been with MLB and CBS Sports. Nicole, thanks so much. Always great to have you on. And this is really interesting news. Thanks for joining us, and tell us how it came about and what it means.
Yeah, well, this is one of those hires like we've seen a couple of times now with some of these big commissioner jobs where you hear the name and you got to stop and think and you got to Google, because it's not someone that college sports fans or even, you know, folks in the media like myself knew offhand. And it's definitely a trend line now that we've seen it, the Big Ten twice now, as well as the Big 12 and the Pac-12, where these presidents who are making these decisions are clearly valuing media executive experience, but also experience in pro sports. And it's interesting because I have labeled it and other people have labeled this a non-traditional hire. But Tony definitely has touched college sports in more ways than some of the other commissioners who are hired, just in his proximity to college football and March Madness, but specifically the formation of the BCS and getting everyone on board and on the same page enough to give us a national championship that would pit number one and number two against each other to determine the champion. That was a big deal in the sports history and its evolution, and obviously led to us eventually getting to the college football playoff. And he was a major player in that obviously we all know about the BCS and the era, but I think this was one of the unsung heroes, and it's now we're singing about it. We're learning about him and his ties to the sport. Everyone I've talked to over the last 24 hours really sings his praises and talks about how well-rounded his background is for where college sports is here in 2023.
Nicole, I know others have been given credit for the BCS, and there are a lot of people involved, but as you've done reporting on this and talking to people, what role did he play, and what specifically did he do?
Well, I mean, he helped get everyone to the table. I know a lot of people do credit, rightfully so, Roy Kramer, as the father of the BCS, right. But it was also Petitti who basically helped as the vice president of programming at ABC Sports. He's the one who really made it happen. He convinced the people and the parties involved to work together on this. You needed to have the Big Ten, you needed to have the Pac-12, you needed to have the Rose Bowl involved. And they were able to help get this thing to the finish line. And Roy Kramer himself said that he told the LA Times in 2006, if he was the father of BCS, Petitti was the number one son. And so this is someone who, again, was more behind the scenes, but made the sport get to a point that it needed to crown a true national champion. And that evolution obviously led us to the CFP, but it's just very interesting because we always know that there's TV executives and involvement on decisions like this and steps like this, but he's the one who helped really get the different parties with different interests at the table and get this thing done, which obviously is important to a lot of college football fans. And then, you know, when he was at CBS and other places, like, he's worked closely with the men's NCAA tournament as well. He's been a college football fan for a long time as well, and cares about that on Saturdays and would work with those he was working with, the talent on air. He would watch games with them. So this is someone who genuinely cares and really throws himself into whatever sport he's working on, whatever project he's working on. And yes, dating back all the way to the formation of the BCS.
Nicole, it was interesting yesterday, the announcement coming out in the morning that Jim Phillips has got this new contract extension. Afternoon, here comes the new commissioner of the Big Ten. What do you know, if anything, about Jim Phillips, a former candidate for that job when Kevin Warren got it, the AD years ago at Northwestern? What role, if any, did he play in this conversation?
Yeah, it's not clear at this point, you know, his level of involvement in the search. I don't think that the extension and the announcement were necessarily related to, you know, not being a finalist and not being offered that job. I'm not sure that that things went all that far. But I think, you know, there was a lot of speculation and a lot of people and fans linking him to this position because of the search the last time. And he's just got a lot of support and a lot of friends and colleagues in the Big Ten. who wanted him to get that job the last time and some who wanted him to get the job this time. And, you know, you also had heard a lot from folks in the league that they did really want someone who had college sports experience and pre-existing relationships, which is the direction that I initially thought they were going to go. I felt that it was, you know, the pendulum was going to swing back. So you go outside of college sports to hire Kevin Warren, and you would go back into it to hire this next position. That's obviously not what the Big Ten presidents ended up doing, but that was another part of the reason that I think there was a lot of speculation around Jim Phillips and his obvious ties to the Big Ten. But there were a couple of reasons that I wasn't sure that that was ever really going to happen. I think we've never seen a Power Five commissioner go from one league to another. And despite the fact that we are very used to in college sports seeing people break contracts and pay buyouts, there's clearly going to be some structural pieces to a contract about moving from this type of role to another Power Five commissioner job. You'd have to think that there would be some problems there and some obstacles there with the non-compete and issues around that. And I also think the Big Ten, clearly by making this hire, is looking at someone who will be innovative and creative and forward thinking about where college sports is going. And I think that we've seen Jim Phillips and his comments about, you know, the status of student athletes, not wanting them to be employees, and just sort of the language that he's used feels very traditional, very old school college sports. And it's perhaps not what the Big Ten wanted right now, as we face a very uncertain future in college sports and potential massive changes to the business model. I think you're hiring someone who's worked in professional sports before and just has a very innate understanding of the business world, having worked at multiple major media companies, that I think clearly will be more comfortable engaging on some of that stuff than some of the more traditional college sports lifers.
Nicole, I realize the importance of bringing someone in with the understanding of all these things that you've mentioned. Having mentioned that, so much of the heavy lifting has been done. The contracts are signed. Everything is about to be implemented with Southern Cal and UCLA and the new deals going into effect. So with that out of the way, it seems even maybe a little more peculiar that they went to a TV guy when they really don't need one, do they?
I had the same initial thought, and I've been picking a lot of people's brains about it. And someone made the point to me that, you know, there is a difference between, you know, the short form agreements and being able to announce deals and the long form and the nitty gritty. And so it will be really helpful to have someone with that media background able to get those deals to the finish line and be able to implement them, as well as all the challenges around UCLA and USC from a scheduling standpoint, travel logistics, all of those types of things. Someone with a strong sports business background will be able to do that. I also just think it's smart considering the types of things we ask and demand of commissioners these days. They're all going to be involved in the media rights negotiations for the college football playoff and the expanded college football playoff. So you have negotiations for the final 2 years of the current deal, and then you're essentially starting over from scratch for 2026. So being well-versed and understanding how that landscape works is going to be really valuable. And in general, we look for these commissioners to be leading on a number of issues related to the business model of college sports. And I just think anything with this type of background would be helpful, considering just the uncertainty of what this is all going to look like, the legal challenges that everyone is facing, and then just the continued conversation around conference realignment. I mean, I just think you want to be prepared and have a skill set that will prepare you for whatever might come.
Finally, Nicole, collegiality is a word we heard all these commissioners use before COVID, and then it went out the window. And it seemed, and you're closer to that league than I am, so I defer to you to help explain. Kevin Warren just seemed like an outsider. We had the infamous now break on August 11th, 2020, when the Big Ten went astray, and all the things that never quite happened. Finally, we got the CFP back together again, but that may have been as he was exiting or thinking about exiting. So how important do you think this hire will be in trying to bring these leaders back to the table at the one of the most critical moments in the history of college sports?
That's where my mind goes as well. I think back, and I've been thinking about it a lot today, about the dynamic between Mike Clive and Jim Delaney, where certainly they would push each other, and they would bump heads on issues. But they also would work together when they needed to, and they needed to get things done. They made decisions that were for the betterment of college football or college sports at large. And so I think you need to have that relationship, especially as the Big Ten and the SEC continue to separate themselves and the stratification that has happened in college sports. They're going to need to be able to work together. And there are going to be a lot of situations where the interests are going to align. And there's also going to be times where they do need to push back on each other. And I think that's really healthy for college sports. But it's a great point, because I've covered so many meetings of all the different commissioners here over the last few years. And because of, you know, the decisions in COVID that were really disjointed and up to each individual league, and people weren't really working together, plus you also have conference realignment and a number of commissioners essentially raiding others' leagues for members, there's just been a lot of tension in that room, a lot of anxiety, a lot of distrust. And we're coming out of that in some ways. And then obviously still have a lot of tension between the Pac-12 and the Big 12 right now. But I just think you're going to need to get people who can sit at a table, communicate effectively, efficiently, and get things done. And that is something that I think if you're the Big Ten commissioner, you want to be able to lead in that room with the other commissioners, have a strong voice, throw your weight around like you should because you're the Big Ten or the SEC. But you also need to be able to have really strong relationships that you can rely on. And I think that is the formula here and what is needed for college sports as people eventually do need to think about the greater good again.
Fantastic conversation. Nobody better than Nicole Auerbach joining us from The Athletic on the new commissioner of the Big Ten. We go to the break. We'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. We'll have Connor O'Gara on a little bit later on responding to what Griff had to say here yesterday, that Kirby Smart has surpassed Nick Saban.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Augie is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. It seems like every, I don't know, 3-4 months, you have the unofficial trial of Jim. And today, Jim was just walking down the street, minding his own business. He was jumped from behind with a lead pipe and attacked. It just seems from out of the blue. Even you were shocked.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt. And, you know, I don't mind good conversation, but Matt from San Antonio, that was an uncalled for and unprovoked attack.
Yeah, I like Matt, but boy.
And by the way, I've gone down to the courthouse in San Antonio and on behalf of Jim and filed a warrant for his arrest.
At the very least, you need a restraining order because he shouldn't be able to come within 300 miles.
Well, I thought by demanding an arrest, maybe I'll settle for a restraining order within at least two time zones.
And then you've got this guy, Richard from Alabama, calling, chastising you for encouraging this sort of thing. But, Paul, I mean, Richard was trying to – remember that scene from The Wizard of Oz when the characters just got rid of the witch and then they pull the curtain back and the mysteries – he was trying to pull the curtain back. And you need to let people know, hey, the show has a third ring. Honor the third ring and don't question the
third
ring.
Well, didn't the wizard say, I'm a good man, I'm just a terrible wizard?
That's right. There's a lot to be learned from that movie, Paul. I don't know if people catch all the subtleties, or maybe I'm inventing subtleties that really don't exist, but I'm putting my twist on it. But that movie has a lot of great lines in it. I think Jim has really come up with his own moniker. You know, Legend dubbed himself the Legend, right? I mean, you didn't give him that name, did you?
No.
Jim has dubbed himself the Icon. And I think that's great.
I am an icon. Didn't he say, I am an icon? Was that a John Lennon song? I am an icon? No, that's I am a walrus. I'm sorry.
You're going to have to wait for I-Man to come on. He's a music trivia guy. But I think that was accurate. And as I always say, love him or hate him, Jim is always the topic of conversation. And as you say, you're loyal to your people who go back with you a long ways. And that's one of the good things about you, Paul, is you are loyal regardless.
And, well, I know one thing, Augie. This has been an amazing ride. I had half a dozen callers at the beginning, and I'll probably have a half a dozen at the end. So I want to make sure that the farewell show has a few people calling in.
I think you'll have a lot of riders. But, Paul, you know you had the caller bracket, and callers voted on who was the best caller, the most entertaining. So that was sort of like a caller-on-caller crime.
Yeah.
Why not, and suggestion for a future show,
sure,
all of your guests, regardless, guest hosts, guest commentators, talking heads, put a bracket up and let us vote on who's the best.
Well, that is a great idea. So who would your number one seeds be?
Well, we'll have to take Father Moreno out because
we don't want him in there. So here's what we do. Take clergy and coaches out.
Yeah, we could do coaches on a separate day.
Yeah, that's
day
not important. I mean, we're simply talking about guests, which are mostly writers, broadcasters, talking heads, people like that.
Yes. Throw Roman Harper in there, Tebow, Topmeyer, Talty, all of those guys. And again, whether you like this guy or not, you love him. You love Griff. He would be a great one to put in that.
Yeah, I think that is a fantastic idea because let those people find out what it's like to be in the arena.
Yes. Yes. Let us vote on who we think the best ones are. And the first ones out are obviously the ones we really don't think much of.
So Augie, not to put you on the spot for your own idea, but best and worst, where would you go?
I like Griff. You know, I always liked him. I always thought he brought the heat.
I think he's a one or two seed, no doubt.
Yeah, I think whether you like him or not, he knows what people want to hear, and he pushes buttons. He's a button pusher.
Okay, the other side of Griff.
Side of Griff.
That's like a Hemingway.
I mean, it's not that I don't like Roman, but Roman just drones on about the technical aspects of football, and then Tebow the same. I know you love Tebow, but I'm trying to think of who would be the absolute worst. I don't know. There's just a group of guys I'm like, oh, no, not them again. I can go pop some popcorn while Paul's interviewing them. I can't really pick a worst out. There's absolutely nobody I just despise, so let's get that out of the way. But there are some I'd just rather not hear.
Augie, I mean, there are moments, and I think the better show sometimes would be what we say during the breaks. But, I mean, I'll go all in and a guest, and I'll just say, what happened? I'll say to Jamari and Danny, I said, where do we come up with that guy? And they'll say, that was your idea. So you don't know. I've had a few of those where you just, and there's a level of frustration for me because I'm not interviewing them as a host. I'm a fan. I want to know what these people know. I don't want to get a bunch of, we weren't given access to practice. I know that. Nobody gets them practice anymore. That's why you're a reporter, and that's why you're on the show. So what do you know? Well, how about this? Only time will tell.
And that's when you're great, is when you're grilling them when they come on just to mark time, just to get their face on TV or just to blather on. And the last one that really fumbled his interview was Stephen M. Smith, and you grilled him. But he's by far not the only one. There have been many others.
But to Stephen M. Smith's credit, he doesn't give you namby-pamby answers, though.
No, he didn't.
I mean, his answers sometimes are from outer space. But he's passionate about what he believes, unlike some people who I'm like going, are we keeping you from dinner?
There was a guy you had on. I think he was an NI, one of the NIL.
That's a whole other classification. Those guys.
And he really came on and didn't have much substance. It was like when you're in school and you have to turn in a book report or a paper and you have the topics, but you don't go into depth, and the professor starts grilling you on the details and you have none. So,
the NIL space, I mean, those guys are either self-promoting or trying to sound like they are, you know, Supreme Court experts. Or self-promoting. Usually they're self-promoting.
Exactly. Self-promoting, and I think they speak with authority as they're making up an area of practice that has no rules yet.
Right.
So whatever they say, they can't be really grilled on to a point of law because there is nothing. But, again, I think
Augie, you've given us a good idea. One day we might just allow the public – who cares for this show to pick the field. That may be the way we do it, so we're not accused of being unkind to the people that are nice enough to grace us every day. Jerry is up next.
Paul.
Hey there.
This is Jerry. I sent you the pictures here a while back.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you.
Well, look, I've been listening for a pretty good while now about how people, Georgia people, and all that Kirby had passed Saban as the best coach.
Right.
And look, he's a great coach. I wish Bama had him as a defensive coordinator again.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, he may win it three in a row because they're going to have a good team coming back. But, you know, maybe people are going to say I'm making excuses and give me some flack over it. But I thought about this. I told my son-in-law here a few years ago, I said, Saban keeps having those number one recruiting classes every year, and it's number two, number three. He's always in that class. I said, his recruiting is going to do him in sooner or later. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, he's going to start having, look how many, he's going to lose so many seniors every year anyway. And look, when your juniors are going out, several of them every year, and then sometimes you have a red shirt sophomore going out. You know, it catches up with you sooner or later. And that's my opinion of it. And I'm not making excuses for Bama, but you just, you know, you can't just keep losing your best players as juniors and win a championship every year. And, Georgia, you know, when they won their first national championship, when they beat Bama, Lord have mercy, they had a whole lot of seniors on that team. Of course, he had to replace them. This coming year, still had a great team. But sooner or later, I think your recruit might do you in because of so many leaving every year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think sometimes it's also you lose the wrong player. And I think that's I think the thing about Saban last year that was bewildering to some, but he may never have a better combination of best defensive and best offensive player, but he had a lot of missing parts in between, and I think the wide receiver deficiency and the offensive line ultimately did them in. Thank you for the call. We are heading to a break. We've already had a couple of people drop in. We have plenty of guests later on, including a response to Mike Griffith.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and what an interesting afternoon it has been. Some great callers. We had one from New Orleans a minute ago. I think we have another one from Louisiana. Dwayne is on the air.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum, let me tell you something, man. My new name is Knowledge. They call me Knowledge now. Hey, let me tell you something. Alabama, let me tell you about Nick Saban. No, Nick Saban, them football, hey, Nick Saban had them boys coming back for their senior year. Nick Saban always get them boys to come back. LSU, last mile, them boys were leaving after 3 years going to the NFL. Them boys were leaving after 3 years at LSU going to the NFL. That's why LSU kept on having that record like that. Huh?
Dwayne, what exactly are you trying to tell us here?
What I'm saying, that the guy you had on was telling you that Nick Saban was pushing them boys out to the NFL after three years. No, he wasn't. Them boys were coming back. Nick Saban had them boys coming back for their 5 years.
By the way, Dwayne, I don't know if you heard our first guest here, Matt Zenitz, tonight. He was talking about Alabama's record recruiting class, and he said what he hears from practice is those guys are making a big difference, which could mean the following: Alabama may be for real this year.
What? Man, Alabama ain't for real. Man, we're going to stump Alabama. We're going to stump them again. We're going to beat them again like we always beat them. Hey, and another thing I want to say, Shaq just lost his mind. That guy ain't the greatest thing ever came out of LSU. You could name them baseball players, Ty Walker, Alex Bergman. You can name Abba Bell. You can name Ben McDonald. You can name other football players.
Hey, Dwayne, hold on a second. Refresh my memory, okay?
Yeah.
You just got through saying we beat them all the time. LSU, since 2011, has two wins over Alabama, and as far as stomping Alabama, am I mistaken, or didn't that game go into overtime last year?
Is that a stomping?
We beat them all the time, and we stomped them. Neither statement is accurate.
A total misrepresentation, a total lie. No, it ain't. Hey, let me tell you something. We're going to beat them.
Brian Kelly went for two because he was scared to death of
we
what was about to
again.
Happen.
Hey, I'm the new sheriff in town. I'm the new sheriff in town now. Tell Legend that. You tell all them clowns that. Iron Man and Legend and everybody over there. I'm the new sheriff in town. Let's get that straight. We coming. We here now.
You lost by 28 points at home to Tennessee. You're not the new sheriff anywhere. You lost to Georgia by double digits.
What time we going to beat people? What time we going to? Hey, Lane Kiffin got on you last year. You know, Lane, you made that statement. You made that bet come out. Lane Kiffin told you something last year about you. But we're going to beat him again. Hey, we're going to show how we're going to beat him again.
Dwayne, I realize it's Wednesday and you're getting ready for the weekend, right. But don't start so early.
We're getting the weekend. We're going to beat them. Beat them. They have the new sheriff in town. LSU, baby. LSU.
Hey, Dwayne, you still there? Okay. Man, Dwayne, I love the guy's spirit. Makes no sense, though. Let's go north of the border to AC. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. You know, I'm going to show you some love. How you doing? Thank you so much for taking my call.
We're doing great.
Call. Absolutely. You know, he called out everybody, but he did not call me out because he knows I'm his tribal chief. And LSU, who is LSU again? And how many championships they won? I have no clue. And when was the last time they won a championship? 2019. And who won national championship after Alabama and Georgia? That means I never saw LSU. Who is LSU? We don't know who's LSU. Because they'll get smashed regardless. I think Brian Kelly is going to be in the hot seat next season. Because they're going to fail. They may not even reach the SEC championship game. Hey, lightning strike once, buddy. But lightning is not going to strike twice. If I want to see Crimson Tide and the Dogs for the SEC title game, and I want the Dogs to pound Alabama once again. But Mr. Feinbaum, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love
you. Gail in Louisiana. Hello, Gail.
Hi, Paul. I'm going to preface my statement with that I have been watching this show since you first came on.
Thank you.
And all the arguments about who is your GOAT caller, no one will ever surpass Miss Tammy. She loved her Auburn Tigers, and she and Jim at that time, are you there, Paul?
Yeah, sure. I'm
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
I see AC from Canada on the TV.
Well, Gail, you're watching. Long story, but it takes a while. It takes a while for the signal to go into outer space and come back down to your television.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I can remember the days when one of the biggest most exciting times of your show was when Tammy and Jim went at it. One pulling for her school and the other one pulling for his school. There was none of this ugly talking, this, that, and the other. And I think you even kind of still play a clip where Tammy is talking and Jim says, "Tammy, let me talk." And she says, "Okay, damn it, talk." And no one will ever be as great a caller as what she was because she loved her school. Now, I don't know how much Jim knows about sports. I don't really care what he knows about it. But for that young man that called and spoke that ugly about anyone, I hope he doesn't kiss his mother with that mouth.
Gail, thank you very much for your call. Bud is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Bud.
How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Me and he's about the same age, Paul. Don't you remember Reggie White in Tennessee?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Great player.
I'll be 61 in October. And I remember Floyd Rivers, too. He was a mighty good player today. But what I can tell you about, I got a shot. First off, if you play somebody 31 times, you win 21 of them. Don't that make you better than about 68% of the time you beat them?
Yeah, that's a significant number, yes.
And that's what Tennessee's got over LSU. We beat them 21-10 in the number of times. We think about playing home games at LSU, but it's too far to drive. And too many drunks down there on Saturday night, too. But what I got to tell you about, I got something. I'm glad you're sitting down because I got a text. I emailed it to you where you wouldn't just like it, somebody saying something on the air. Do you know who the runner-up to Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump. You know who the guy was the runner-up that Tom Hanks beat out for that role?
I do not.
Well, you are sitting down, though, ain't you? I'm listening to him phone down. Josh Heupel.
I didn't realize Heupel was up for that.
In 1994, he just got out of school, so it's a long time ago. He wasn't coaching, but I sent you the link showing that. They said I got that sent to me today by 24/7 ball, and I like to fall out on the floor because I never believed that in my life.
Well, Heupel didn't get out of school until after the movie was made.
I know that.
Right.
But he studied. I reckon studied acting. I sent you the link. It was hard to believe, Paul, but I sent it to you. I emailed it to you where you could see it. I was as shocked as anybody.
Well, just for the record, Forrest Gump came out in 1994. Josh Heupel would have been about 12 years old. I hate to debunk that, but I'm going to. Didn't happen. Never. We'll be back. Much more right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here. Ricky is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, Paul. I like that new sheriff in town, man.
man.
I wonder what he's talking about, the baseball team, though.
That's he may have been.
That beats Alabama regular, maybe.
I have never heard Ricky talk baseball, but he probably should.
That's what you know, when he was talking about Angel Reese and who are better players at LSU, he named most of the baseball players. that's what I thought.
Ricky gets a little bit confused.
I want to see as tall as Shaq, because apparently, the air's thin up there, man. That's all I can tell you, because I don't get that comment, though, but. Like you say, he probably got caught up in the moment. Their first national championship, and I guess that's like me, saying that Tanner Allen of LSU. I guess he's the best, the best player that ever come out of Mississippi State. Because they won a national title, and of course, probably you could probably put Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro in that thing, but I don't know what Shaq's talking about. The air is thin up there. That's the only thing I can say about that.
I think he must be sipping whatever Barkley is drinking.
Those tall guys, the air, like I said, the air is kind of thin up there. They may not get enough oxygen or something. I don't know.
That's good, Ricky.
But Paul, I heard a guy Dave yesterday was talking about the bumpers on the show, and I don't know about drum lines all that much because I never did play in a drum line, but because of being blind, but without the one I was referring to is the one that have a like double bass combo playing and guy playing on top. That's one guy doing all that.
So weren't you part of a group at one time?
Oh yeah, I mean I play a drum set, but playing a drum line like he's talking about.
Right.
Was talking about playing the marching band.
So how are you able to how are you able to do that in terms of with your disability?
Well, you just you have to have hand-eye coordination, where hand and feet coordination, rather.
Right.
They ain't got no eyes. But you got to have, you have to have what they call four-limb coordination when you, because, and playing double bass is on that buffer, on that bumper, it sounds like somebody like Neil Peart. You ever heard of that Canadian group Rush?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Neil Peart was a drummer for them, and this guy named Terry Bozzio. They play, and really, you hear that type of rhythmic playing, like in heavy metal, with that double bass action, double bass drum action, and then you play on top of that, and with the toms, and that's why I feel like that one is probably one person doing that's one person doing that. That's not a bunch of guys on, and they simulating this, that's a real person doing that. Now it could be they be playing on a set of V drums, what they call electric drums, to have that authentic sound, because they can make them sound real. But that's one guy playing that.
Ricky. Hey, listen, we're up against the top of the hour. Thank you very much. By the way, we've done some research, and we checked into the Josh Heupel and Forrest Gump. In fact, and a lot of people, I should have known this, John Travolta turned down Forrest Gump to do what movie? Pulp Fiction. Both classics. Apparently, Josh Heupel was third, not first choice. We will take a break. Connor O'Gara, who could play Forrest Gump in the remake, will be with us later.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.